May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. 115 years ago, and about 13 days, an event took place that has one way or another affected the lives of nearly everybody on this planet. Kathy and Tim, who are here at 8 o'clock, keep quiet, but I wonder if anyone else knows what event I might be referring to. Well, it happened about 4 miles south of Kitty Hawk in North Carolina. Orville and Wilbur Wright became the first people to fly, at least powered flight, by getting their flying machine off the ground. Something that has had one way or another a huge impact on all of us. I wonder, is there anyone here, certainly some of the very young ones I would think, who have not been on a plane? Is there anyone who's not been visited by somebody who arrived on a plane? It's changed the nature of warfare. Imagine, for example, who could transport troops so rapidly across the world as is done today? It's affected trade, it's affected diplomacy, it's affected the spread of illness. It has had a huge impact. Anyway, I doubt that the Wright brothers realized just what a big impact their creation was going to have. But they sent a telegram to their sister Catherine to tell her the great news. It said, "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Now, Catherine realized the importance of this, and she rushed round to see her friend, who was editor of the local newspaper in Dayton. She wanted to give him the opportunity to be the first to publish this great news. She showed him the telegram, he looked at it, smiled, and said, "How nice, Catherine. You'll have your brothers home for Christmas." He missed the big story that the Wright brothers had become the first people to fly. And the reason I tell you this story is just to illustrate the point that it's very easy to miss the big story at this time of year. Our Christmas festivities have a habit of taking over our lives. There are just so many preparations to make. For some people in this church, so many trees to sell, so many parties to go to, presents to buy, and so by Christmas Eve, many of us are just exhausted. It's very easy to miss the big story that Christ is at the center of Christmas because we're celebrating his birth. And over the years, the religious side of Christmas has been gradually eroded as the commercial world sees it as the big earner. And Winter Wonderland, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer have to some extent replaced the carols telling the story of Jesus' birth. And have you noticed too how when we tell that story, it's often told as a romantic fairy tale rather than the story with all its unpleasant bits? Because the big story of Christmas is that God came to live on earth and we recognize Jesus as both human and divine. To quote the gospel I read a few moments ago, "The Word became flesh and lived among us." Now, the four gospels have different ways of dealing with the Christmas story. Mark doesn't deal with it at all. He just begins his gospel with Jesus coming into Galilee and preaching the good news when he's about 30 years old. Luke tells the story through the eyes of Mary. the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth to get away from all the gossips about her unmarried pregnancy in Nazareth. Mary gives birth in a stable, and the shepherds are in that story. Matthew tells the story from the perspective of Joseph. Joseph discovers that his fiancée is pregnant. An angel appears to him, or rather he's in a dream, an angel appears, and he decides to go ahead and marry Mary. He gives the name Jesus to the child, and he makes the decision to flee into Egypt, and the wise men appear in that story. They're quite different stories, or at least the same story from a different perspective. John takes a very different line. If you just heard the gospel I read this morning and nothing else, you'll think, was there any event? What's he talking about? There are no stables, no mangers, no shepherds, no wise men. It's all philosophical. It's all about the Word being in the beginning and the Word with God and the Word was God and so on. And I remember first time this struck me when I was about 13 or 14, sitting in the carol service and hearing the last lesson announced as St. John explains the mystery of the incarnation. And I thought, I'm now going to understand what it's all about. We got to the end of the lesson and I thought, what? It just didn't seem to hang together. But the real truth of it is that the creator of everything, the Word, the creative Word of God, that is there in the beginning through which everything is created, is God himself becoming human and taking on human form and living a human life because God loved the world so much. And in the busyness of a Christmas season, we need to pause occasionally and let that sink in, forgetting all the fuss, the parties and everything else, to just think, God loves you and me and every other single human being that has ever existed so much that he came to live among us. Emmanuel, one of the titles for Jesus, it means God with us, or the Word become flesh. But John goes on to say more than that. He talks about people's reaction to Jesus. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. And he's not just talking about the fact that there was nowhere for him to be born and he ended up in a stable, but people who received him by recognizing who he is and following him. And John goes on, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but born of God. And it's in those words that for me lies one of the challenges of Christmas. Do we count ourselves, or does God count us, as among those who received him, or those who didn't? Are we like his own people who did not accept him? And accepting him is more than just saying, oh yes, he was born in Bethlehem, and we would have given him a home. It's, do we live our lives as God calls us to? And do we know what John means when he writes, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, born not of the flesh, but of God. Now, all of us are 21st century people. We live in the Western world, and we think about family in a particular way. To us, the relationship that makes a family is that of husband and wife. They come together. It's an oversimplification, I know, because I want to bring same-sex marriage into that too. But They come together, and that's the relationship that forms the family. Children come out of that relationship. That was not the way a first century Jew would have thought about family. The relationship for that person making the family is not husband-wife, it's father-son, and particularly a firstborn son. That's what makes the family. And this is not what I believe, but you can shoot me down afterwards. It's what first century Christians would have believed. Women are just there in order for the men to have their children, their sons. Some may say it's still true today. But it's not the way we think, but it's the way they thought. And for them, the important relationship to make for family was the father and the son. So when John and the rest of the scriptures talk about calling God Father and being children of God and born of God, what they're saying is that the relationship that can exist between us and God can be as close and as intimate and as real as the most intimate relationship that anyone can imagine. Even more so. And therein is where the challenge lies with me for Christmas. And let me leave that thought with you. Do you know in your own experience what it is to have that kind of relationship with God? Because that's what Jesus brings and gives to us if we choose to accept it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.